very bright up here with those lights. We've been making jokes. Brandon put all these new lights in, and my kids bug me and say, "Your bald spot is really shiny." Tan, yeah. So, well, I got to get thinking here on that joke. Ephesians, we've gone through, as you can see, the armor. The picture is up there. We've gone through the armaments, but something that was really a focus for me when I come to the place that we're coming to, which was going to be off of verses 18 and 20 from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 20, was when I got to this part, the first word that is said is prayer or praying. And prayer should be very important to us. It should be something that is done all the time. And I know that it seems odd, and we might think, well, how can you pray? What are we just supposed to talk to God constantly all the time? Yes, we should be in constant communication with God. It is a vertical relationship with Him that we have and that's been given to us. So we have an opportunity to talk to Him all the time. And the topic for this is, are you ready? As you can see in your bulletins. And I was thinking about this, are you ready? I don't know why this comes to me, but are you ready to rumble the WWF when they would always come out? I can't remember the guy's name, but he would always come out and he's like, are you ready to rumble? And he would go on with this thing and get everyone all pumped up and excited. But we're not in wrestling. But at the same time, we are coming into a battle, and we are in a battle when we become new creations. Our desires are not the same when we're in Christ. So the question, the main question for all of us too, is are you ready? Are you ready for what's at hand? Are you ready for the battles that you're going to face? Can you stand firm on the Word of God? And will you stay awake in this time? So last week we talked about battlements. As a good Christian soldier, and these battlements don't stop here. The battlements, another battlement is prayer. Another battlement for us is prayer. It didn't just stop at all the armor that we put on. It as well is prayer. Because without prayer, we're just battling with our flesh. I'm going to give you an example with myself. There is many times in my own life when I wasn't ready for a battle, and I took some of the hits from Satan's fiery darts, and I let my flesh run. There are times I have fallen asleep, much like the disciples at Gethsemane, when Jesus said, stay awake, but they went to sleep. They needed to be ready for what was coming. I too have done that. I was bitter towards others, or I have been bitter towards others. I believed lies about myself and others. I spoke unwholesome words about my brother in Christ or sister in Christ. I've done it. Instead of making intercession for my brother in Christ or sister in Christ, I have been in fights with my wife that didn't produce righteousness. I argued with my children instead of displaying God's grace. So I must pray now and every day, and we too must pray now and every day, asking the Lord to teach us to pray. So this is why prayer is essential. That's my first point. And then within that, there's a few little points. So prayer is essential. But before we get into it further, let's pray again. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your sovereign grace. I thank you for your planned purpose. And I thank you that you will glorify your name and have glorified your name through the work of Christ. I thank you that we have a confidence that cannot be shaken by anything that goes on around us, and that we have a boldness through the work of Christ. that we can stand confident in, and we do not need to fear the flesh. So I just ask you to just open our hearts and our minds as we read through the scriptures together and as we study through the scriptures together, and as you have blessed me with this sermon, I ask that this would bless everyone here today. As you have blessed me as I've studied through the scriptures, that you would bless each and everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. So prayer is an essential thing for us as Christians. Sometimes we put it off and put it to the side, but prayer is very essential. We are really in a war zone, and prayer is a requirement to fight against the opponent, who is Satan. The book of Ephesians is a call to all saints, not just some saints, but those saints who are Christ's, to live a life of prayer. Knowledge does not give us the ability to wield the sword of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit brings about the ability to handle the knowledge of the sword, which is the Word. Some time back, I made a statement that it is important in having a praying pastor, but not only a praying pastor is needed for the growth and the work of the Spirit and God's church. We need a praying congregation. There needs to be a praying congregation. A praying congregation is needed. A praying pastor, a praying congregation. The two work hand in hand, and we are in a hand-to-hand combat. And we are in a battle, but we battle from victory. We pray from victory, and Paul gives us the ability and how to pray to defeat Satan. First, we must know that verses 14 to 20, so in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 to 20, it is Paul's long sentence. It is one full sentence. So when you think about the armor, and you think about how you put on all the armor, all the battlements, the physical that you put on to cover the body, but then afterwards, still within verse 20 is verse 18 and 19, which is talking about prayer. So that's how we can see one full sentence Paul is telling them. He's kept it all together, saying the battlements that we need are there for us so that we can handle and withstand what Satan brings our way. Second, the word all in verses 18 is used four times. Maybe you already noticed that this morning when it was read to you by Dan and Pearl. But four times all is used, and all is used with prayer. So, the first all, but before we read it, I'm just going to read you verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So all, you can see, was there a few times. So the first all, praying at all times in the Spirit. Paul started with started this verse by saying, pray always in the Spirit. The same can be said when we're given direction by Paul to put on the armor in chapter 6, verse 10, when he started off with and he said, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So God's strength is the first need. God's strength. There is knowledge that comes to understanding and grasping the work of Christ and the work of Christ on the cross and believing. All that is there. But the first thing that we need is God's strength in order to be able to even put on the armor and to understand the purpose of the armor. So Paul did that in chapter 6, verse 10. He wanted us to understand God's strength is the first need before entering the battle. The same goes with prayer. We need the Spirit to pray, and from the Spirit, we then pray. Romans 8, 26 to 27, you might even have it memorized. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So, with the Spirit and the groanings, I just want to say that this isn't that we're supposed to make a bunch of noises and groanings when we come to prayer, that we need to make loud noises and just groan. That's not what is being stated within this part. even, yeah. But rather, the power of the Spirit, we pray, seeking God's will and not our own self or own selfish needs. So we come to God, and we come to God knowing that the Spirit is the one that intercedes on our behalf, and it is the Spirit who knows what is needed. So the Spirit intercedes where we are weak and don't have words to say and can come to God. Prayer is an essential part for the Christian life, and we are directed to pray. Our concern should first be to glorify God in prayer. We have a need to pray and a need to learn to pray by asking the Lord to teach us to pray personally, on our own time, and corporately. No matter the setting, we have a spiritual warfare against our opponent, Satan. And we need the help of the Lord and the Spirit in learning to pray. This is why I often ask and I say, Lord, teach me to pray. And I'm going to give you a few verses here just to get you thinking about this a little bit more. And it's from the Psalms. So one thing is to teach me to pray as I lie down. Psalms 63:6 says, when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. The next thing is that we should be asking in the morning. Psalms 5:3, it says, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. We need to be praying in our walking. Psalms 23:4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And in my waitings, Psalms 37:7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. And then as well, praying and in our watching, Matthew 26:41, it says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our communication with the Lord is a vertical relationship, as I talked about earlier, and should always be open. It shouldn't be closed off. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So the second all now, with all prayer and supplication. In supplication, we implore and request or intercede and ask with thanksgiving through our prayers. Let me remind you of Philippians 4:6, which says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I'm sure many of us have said that verse many times, and we still become anxious or fretful or frustrated. But we need to remember that God is not a genie in a bottle. I say this often to the kids and for myself too. He's not a genie in a bottle where we rub and we get the wishes that we want. And we need to make sure when we come to God in prayer that we're coming with thanksgiving, thanking him for what he has done and depending on him. And you know what it does show though, because we fret and we still get stressed out, is that we are weak vessels that need God. And it shows that we do need to pray to him more and more and more and not to stop praying to him, because we are a vessel that has the Spirit of God, but we need God's help and guidance because we are still within the flesh. Marvin Vincent stated, prayers of various kinds, formal, silent, vocal, secret, and public, are what we have and can do. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, first of all, then I urge you that supplication, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people. Satan is an angry little beast, and he comes to attack the church and the saints and all people. And we stand against Satan as Christians, as believers in Christ. We come and we stand against Satan, interceding and imploring God on behalf of all the saints, God's beloved church, his love that was given through the work of Christ and his life. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. I'm not making everyone flip there, but if you do flip through all the verses, you're fine to do so too. But I'm just going to say them all. If you want to write them down or anything, take them home with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So we must implore God. Say it to yourselves on your own time too. I need to implore God. I need to come before God, persisting and looking for help. The third all is keep alert with all perseverance. Be watchful before you pray, in your prayer, and even after your prayer. Nehemiah is a great perspective in prayer. I don't know the last time you read the book of Nehemiah, but I encourage to go through it and just mark off all the places that Nehemiah prayed to God. Right from the beginning, it starts off that way. And as you go through it, he's constantly looking to God. And sometimes he's angry and comes before the Lord or comes before himself and gets counsel. Other times he comes to others and gets counsel. But his first priority is to come to God. He looked to God for strength and he looked to God for him to give him the ability to accomplish the task that God had for him to accomplish in building the wall of Jerusalem, putting back up its wall. I very much enjoy the book of Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah 1, 4 to 6, Nehemiah persists in his prayer to the Lord day and night. Not just at one moment, but day and night. He persists to the Lord. And you can see that in chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. And when the rebuilding of the wall in Jerusalem was taking place, when Sanballat and Tobiah and the others came against them, Nehemiah and his men, when they were going to rebuild the wall, when they were already sent out by the king, by God's decreed will that it was to happen, when they were sent out, in verses 9 of chapter 4, in verse 9 of chapter 4, they come and then pray to God. And it says, "Pray to God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night." And then God frustrated the plans of Sanballat and Tobiah in 415. And all the people went back to work. And then in 423, it says, "So neither I nor my brothers nor my servants nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon on at his right hand." So that is, again, what we need to be is ready. That's why we put on the battlements, because we need to be ready. We've put on those pieces, and now we've come to God in prayer. We're ready for battle, or should be ready for battle, so that we can stand in this evil day. And that's from Ephesians 6:13. With all our battlements, praying with a watchful eye, because the accuser Satan lurks. He lurks about. Today in our world, we have instantaneous responses. We have our phones. We can pick up the phone. We can call someone. We can easily send an email and it comes. Sometimes you might have to wait a few minutes until someone looks at it. But for the most part, we have instantaneous responses from people with our news outlets. We have the news. We can flick on the TV. Instantaneous responses. Hopefully you're not laughing, just laughing at me. I'm okay. My wife's laughing at me right there. We have a world of instantaneous responses. It's all around us. And sometimes when we pray, because of that, we don't get an answer from God right away, and we quit. But that's not what we need to be doing. Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." We must be persistent in prayer, not quitting because we do not receive a response right away from God. Luke 18, verses 1 to 8, talks about a widow, the persistent widow, ought always to pray and not lose heart. In Paul's time, communication was much different. They would have to send a letter, and as we're reading right now, a letter of Paul's that was sent to the Ephesian church. It took time before that letter would have been there and gotten there. I'm sure many of you know about pin pals. When you write a letter and you wait for them to get the letter and then you wait for it to come back. I know it was still around when we were young too. And you'd be excited about sending it out and waiting for the response that was going to come, and it could take some time. And even in Paul's time, it would have been a longer time for it to come back, as the ships would take much longer to get across the waters. We have planes, we have many other things, buses that deliver mail that can come really quick. Even today, even with our mailing industry, it is pretty quick. And sometimes when it's not, when we wait a week or something after we've ordered something, we start to become like, come on, I want this thing. I ordered it. I ordered it a week ago already. Get here. We're very persistent in what we want because we get used to it. It's easy to pick up the phone and call someone. But in Paul's time, it was much different. So letters take time to arrive. They take time to read. And it takes time before you hear a response from the person you sent the letter to. This is why we must persevere in prayer, by waiting for a response from God. It's not that he didn't hear us, because it goes instantaneously to him, because we should, when we're in constant prayer with him, it does go to him right away. But it keeps that communication open with God when we do that. So don't just walk away thinking God didn't hear you. He does hear you, and he will answer on his time. But keep alert and persevere. The fourth all, making supplication for all the saints. This works as well into verses 19 and 20. So the last one with the saints, making supplication for all the saints. So the shield, as I talked about last week, and I said to you that it locks in together when you're standing together in the battle. There's shields that would connect together, and they're 4 feet. 4 feet long by 2 feet, roughly, is kind of what they were. And when those shields were in front, they could interlock them together to protect not only themselves, but the rest of them that were there in battle. It was a group effort. Prayer is a locking together as believers, praying for all the saints that the trials will not overtake them. We need to remember that the trials come, they will come, temptations will come. And we need to intercede on another's behalf. We need to intercede on our brothers and sisters' behalf. We need the prayer of one another. Paul himself, in verse 19, he says, "And also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel." Paul already spoke the gospel boldly, and he still comes and he asks for the saints to intercede on his behalf. And just as I said earlier, with a praying church, a praying pastor, it is all needed. It works hand in hand. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. We need to work together. And we need to pray to God. We need to pray in our lying down, in the mornings, in the walkings, in the waitings, in the watching. We need to pray, always. The more we pray for the saints, the more it will become a habit than a character, which I've talked about habits and characters a few times. Character traits that come. Sometimes it's hard at first when we're not used to always praying. I know I was reminded as I went through this too that I need to be praying all the time. All the time looking to the Lord. Sometimes I might go and I don't pray throughout the day. Or just a quick one in the morning, thank you, Lord, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or quickly pray as I eat and then shovel down the food. Or halfway through eating, maybe take some time to pray or whatever it may be. Stop, we need to pray. However, sometimes it happens. But if we're in constant relationship with God, that vertical relationship, we will always be in prayer all the time. And then it becomes a habit and it becomes a character trait. It becomes a lifelong thing that we do. We're in constant communication with God. So verses 19 and 20, as I've said a little bit with it already, Paul made mention of the Ephesians to also pray for him, but not for his physical surroundings. I think that's something to take note of in this piece here. It wasn't about his physical surroundings. He wanted the prayer of the believers that he would be bold with his words that come from his mouth in proclaiming the gospel. the mystery he was given by revelation to proclaim, the mystery revealed to the apostles and the prophets, and as well the mystery that was given to Paul was given to the saints. And he said, pray for me that I will speak this boldly as I am in these chains. And then whether that was he was to come to the council, when he did come to the council, that he would speak it boldly. But we can clearly see that it was the mystery of the gospel that he wanted to speak boldly while he was in his chains as an ambassador in verse 20. That I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. He knew what his purpose was, and he wanted to go out and do it with the strength of the Lord. And he wants the same for us as believers, to go out and do what God has for us. And we need to stand strong together as believers and take time to pray. Whether that be in your mornings or in your sleeps or in your sleep or when you're on your bed going to sleep. I mean, it would be pretty neat if we were able to pray all through our sleeps too, but we need to come to the Lord and pray to him. So I do have a couple applicable questions before we get into communion here. Just a very short, brief, as I've already talked about. Do you make prayer a habit throughout the entire day? Truly ask yourself. I know sometimes I think, yeah, there's times when I really do. I really did make it a habit. I was thinking about it, and then I'd stop and I'd pray, or I'd stop and I'd pray. But when we get into situations that become hard, often we like to complain more about the situation than we like to come to God in prayer. And as we make it a habit to come to God in prayer, when a tough situation comes up or a tough trial comes up, it becomes a character where we come to God. And that's why I love the book of Nehemiah, because it gives an example of someone who made a habit, a character in his life, a character trait. And we can see the perfect example of his character in that. So ask yourself the question, do you make it a habit to talk to God the entire day? And this question, as I've said, I ask because I ask it of myself. And the other thing that I started with in this whole thing, which was the top, kind of the main topic with this whole sermon, are you ready? Ask yourself if you're ready. Are you ready for the battle that's already going on around you? Are you ready for the battle? And if not, make sure you come and you put on the armor of God and ask for his help and ask for his strength to be able to pray in the Spirit. So let's pray and then we'll move into communion. Father, I thank you again for your words. I thank you that right at this very moment we've come before you and we are praying to you. And I thank you that we can have confidence knowing that you have a purpose for the plans of our life and that we can be excited about the calling that we've been called into a glorious family. Starting with this family right here and as well with the many other families that are yours around the world, your church, your love. And I just ask, too, that we would love one another as well and that we would take time to pray for one another. And I just ask, Father, as we move into communion, that we could do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if I could call.